We are analyzing today and giving thoughts to the Lord Jesus Christ and what He was willing to do for us when He went to the cross to die for our sins. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. Sometimes when I give words like this, I'm aware of the fact that if I go too rapidly, the meaning is lost. And I don't want the meaning to be lost at the introduction here this morning. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. His life indwelling us makes us ready for the earth. Let's pause and look at those two statements. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. His life indwelling us makes us ready for earth. His life abounding in us removes the hopelessness and barrenness of our lives. I'm going to come back and look at these with you again in just a few moments, but I want you to see His life abounding in us removes the hopelessness and barrenness of our lives. His resurrection removes the bitterness of our death. His death delivers us from the penalty of sin. His life delivers us from the power of sin. Can you see how fantastic these thoughts are? We look at them again. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. How far are we from heaven? One breath, one heartbeat. Could take place at any moment. Jesus Christ was willing to give everything for us. So the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ gets us ready for heaven. His life indwelling us makes us ready for earth. How many times have we analyzed that thought? That when we are cleansed of sin and filled with the Spirit and saturated with truth, we have an awareness of Jesus Christ living freely, abundantly in us. His life indwelling us then makes us ready for our time on the earth. His life abounding in us removes the hopelessness and barrenness of our lives. His resurrection removes the bitterness of our death. His death delivers us from the penalty of sin. His life delivers us from the power of sin. You probably did not have the time or the ability to take all these down, but we'll provide them for you. Now, 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20. We know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know Him who is true, and we are in Him who is true, in His Son, Jesus Christ. 1 John 5:20. Hebrews 6:19-20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Hebrews 6:19-20. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus. Hebrews 6:19-20. Galatians 3:14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might revive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Christ redeemed us in order that in Christ Jesus the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Galatians 3:14. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man whose trust in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. Psalm 34:8. Children, please stand for Bible class. If you will, please turn in your Bibles to Luke 23:52-53. Luke 23:52-53. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful again for the opportunity which is ours to turn our attention away from the various distractions of this world and focus our minds upon these magnificent truths of your word. Today we're privileged to be here. This is a magnificent time for us to give consideration to what all has taken place in our lives as a result of what the Lord Jesus Christ was willing to do on our behalf. We realize that Jesus Christ died a magnificent and honorable death. And we're thankful indeed today for the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. What I've discovered in studying the Word of God, that in the original language, we find that the Greek is not always a smooth translation when you look at it word by word and translate it word by word. I've discovered that in Luke 23:52-53, that there are some things that are startling to me. We're going to try to share some of this with you today. A simple translation would be a man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Now, perhaps many times we read that, but we're going to look at it now to see that the presentation is unique in the original language. A man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. But what I discover then, that there is something very unique as I continue to look at the words in the original text. I tried my best to translate this, and here's what I got. A man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And then I read, and he took him, And he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut in a rock where no one had ever lain. I would ask my Greek students and all of you who have analyzed the scripture from the original language to do me a favor and translate this. I feel like that you will have the same experience that I had. Very interesting words, very interesting translation. Look at it again very carefully. A man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. And he took him and he took it down, wrapped it in linen cloth, and laid him in a tomb cut in a rock where no one had ever lain. What I've discovered is that here we have a presentation of the fact that Jesus Christ was in his flesh, trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit. Jesus Christ, I believe, died a magnificent and honorable death. When I think in terms of what this verse says, it says Jesus Christ died and the body was placed in a tomb. Luke 23:53. It says this also in Luke 23:46, that his spirit went into the Father's presence. And then when I look at Luke 23:43, it says that his soul went into Abraham's bosom. Now, you can write that down, please. Those verses are important. Notice, if you will, please, again, Luke 23:52-53. He took him and he took it down and wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb cut in a rock where no one had ever lain before. So I put down there for you to write for yourself, body in the tomb. Jesus died a magnificent and honorable death. Luke 23:53, body in the tomb. Luke 23:46, spirit into the Father's presence. Luke 23:43, the soul into Abraham's bosom. Abraham's bosom is described in Luke 23:43, Psalm 16:10, with three compartments. One, paradise. Two, torments. And three, Tartarus. When I go again to Luke 23:46, and crying with a great voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said thus, he expired. He breathed out and did not breathe in. The Greek words ek pneuma means breathe out, en pneuma means breathe in. So I'm looking with you at the trichotomy of Jesus Christ. I'm letting you see, and you can write this down, Luke 23, 52 and 53, a man of Arimathea, a city of the Jews, went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. He took it down, and notice what it says, wrapped it in a linen cloth and laid him in a tomb, cut in a rock where no one had ever lain. So I put down there body in the tomb. Luke 23:46, crying with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said that, he expired. He breathed out and didn't breathe in. Spirit into the Father's presence. Luke 23:43, today thou shalt be with me in paradise, Abraham's bosom. So you have three compartments there. Paradise, torments, and Tartarus. I trust you're going to be taking some notes. We've already said that Jesus Christ died. I'll remove this so that we won't be confused. Jesus Christ died an honorable and magnificent death. Over the past years, we have reviewed many times the fact that the physical death of the sacrificial animal in the Old Testament represented the spiritual death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I do not want to go so rapidly that you do not follow these specific sentences. Over the years, we've analyzed this very carefully. We will look at it again in the second session today. But right now, we're emphasizing the magnificent and honorable death of Jesus Christ. Over these past decades, we have reviewed time and time again the fact that the physical death of the sacrificial animal in the Old Testament represented the spiritual death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The analogy between something physical and something spiritual will not be confused if we understand the nature of the Lord's physical death and see the greater picture of the totality and the significance of what was involved in the completed transaction of God's salvation plan. What I've discovered is that so often our focus is so narrow, we're not able to comprehend and see the total picture. The Old Testament animal blood sacrifice was a representative analogy. It was a literal death, presenting the picture of the carrying away of sins. And we find that beautifully presented in 1 Peter 2:24. The carrying away of sins by the total work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Please notice my number three again. The Old Testament animal blood sacrifice was a representative analogy. It was a literal death, presenting the picture of the carrying away of sins. 1 Peter 2:24, by the total work of the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Number four, the animal of the Old Testament sacrifice was not nailed to the cross, nor was Jesus offered on the altar as the Old Testament animal sacrifices were. Notice, please, again, the animal of the Old Testament sacrifice was not nailed to a cross, nor was Jesus on the altar as was the Old Testament animal's sacrificial sacrifice. So we can see then that the animal died a literal death, bled to death, to picture what would be the results of the total work of Christ. It has to be emphasized that the Lord Jesus Christ remained alive until after his salvation work became a total completed transaction. I pause for a moment to let you take a look at that. It has to be emphasized that the Lord Jesus Christ remained alive until after his salvation work became a total completed transaction. While he was very much alive, he solved a problem, a dilemma, which was a spiritual dilemma of mankind. By taking care of a spiritual problem with a spiritual solution. Once his mission was completed, accomplished, he died in a most honorable and magnificent way. I notice, and you have noticed, no panic, even in the light of all he had endured. There was no last-minute panic let down. His physical death was worthy of his true loyalty and worthy of resounding victory that he had just won. With a very powerful voice, he stated that the spiritual legacy that he was leaving to believers on earth, found in Matthew 27, 50-54, Mark 15, 37, Luke 23, 44-46, and then the scripture says, he died by breathing out. And you'll notice that I have the word for you up here in the Greek, ekpneuma. He breathed out, and he did not breathe in. You'll notice what I put up here. The Father's plan called for him to depart at a point of time when he dismissed his spirit. In a most honorable way, the accomplishment of the purpose for the first advent. Are you familiar with the first advent? The first advent emphasizes the fact that Jesus Christ came to the earth as the God-man. God and man. All God, all man. All the characteristics of deity, all the characteristics of humanity. In a most honorable way then, number 7, the accomplishment of the purpose for the first advent, incarnation, was totally done. All I'm trying to do here is to emphasize the uniqueness of the birth of Jesus Christ. His life was unique. His spiritual death was unique in that he was the only person ever authorized to dismiss his own life when his assignment was complete. Can you imagine that? A unique life, a unique death. The only person ever authorized to dismiss his own life when his assignment was complete. When I got into this, I, as you can see, put it in capital letters. By an act of his own choice, his soul, his human spirit, left his body, and only then was he personally dead. Notice, please, number 8. His physical death took body, soul, and spirit into different locations. I don't know what all this is doing to you, but I'm trying to help you see that when you look at Jesus Christ and see Him as trichotomous, body, soul, and spirit, you're able now to be able to comprehend that those three aspects went into different locations. The body, as we've already seen in Luke 23:53, went to the tomb. The soul went to what is called as Hades in Luke 23:43. The human spirit went into the presence of the Father. What we're seeing here is what I call a real and a representative analogy. When you have a real analogy, you would have a literal death compared to a literal death. What we have here in this passage is a representative analogy. The animal died a literal death, but that death does not represent a literal death of Jesus Christ. It represents the carrying away, the bearing away of sins. And this is presented in 1 Peter 2:14. That scripture says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. I don't know what all this will do to you, but I believe that if you're able to see, back away and take a beautiful picture of the uniqueness of this whole situation, you will see the uniqueness of the birth of Jesus Christ. You'll see the uniqueness of the life of Jesus Christ. You'll see the uniqueness of the death of Jesus Christ. You'll see the fact that there is uniqueness in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you see Jesus Christ coming out of the grave bodily. And the ascension, which means Jesus Christ ascended in resurrected body. And the scripture says that the Father said, at that point of time, sit thou at my right hand. And we've said it over and over again, many, many times over the past years. That word propitiation simply means that the Heavenly Father was saying, I'm satisfied. I'm totally satisfied with everything you've done. In a representative analogy, you have a comparison of something literal with something that's figurative, or something figurative with something literal. There's no literal analogy between the blood of animals and the blood of Christ, because Christ did not lose all of his blood on the cross. What is so sad is that many people do not have a comprehension of the beautiful, magnificent meaning of what the Bible teaches about the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a diminishing of the power of the blood by the concept that individuals have in relationship to the blood. The blood of Christ is not a real, but a representative analogy in which physical death of the animal on the altar represents spiritual death of Christ on the cross. What is meant by spiritual death? It means the personal sins of the entire human race, Adam to the last sinner, every sin imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and judged. I have a hard time with this because my heart beats faster and I come to the conclusion that I don't fully comprehend and see it when the darkness came. The darkness came during the time when Jesus Christ was bearing the sins of all mankind, your sins and mine. The personal sins of the entire human race, from Adam to the last sinner, all of these sins were imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross and judged, causing our Lord to say, my God, why have you forsaken me? And you notice I've written, why was he forsaken? Because he who knew no sin was made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Not anything more beautiful than that. Not anything more magnificent than that. I'm trying to get over the subject today. He died a unique death. And the reason for that was because he had a unique birth and a unique life and also then a unique death. Burial, resurrection, ascension, session. It's amazing to me when we come to this particular day and we think in terms of the resurrection. We have to see more than just the resurrection. We see those things involved in our Savior, in his birth, his life, all that transpired there. I find my way over to the 19th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I see Jesus being scourged. And I begin to understand just a little bit about the impact of that scourging. And scholars will tell you that the words are described from the original language in such a way that the cat of nine tails, the whip was used so much to beat the back of Jesus Christ, even to the point of slicing his back open to the point where you could perhaps even see the entrails. The cat of nine tails, that whip beating the Son of God to the point where even his face was scarred. And some describe the fact that when the whip got to his face, that it would even knock out an eyeball or eyeballs. I have a hard time with that. All I'm trying to tell you is that the scourging of Jesus Christ, all the suffering of Jesus Christ, however magnificent and horrible that was, it cannot compare with what took place during those dark hours when he was suffering and bearing your sins and mine. We've got to get a picture of the meaning of the blood of Christ. We've got to get a deeper understanding of what Jesus Christ went through so that you and I could have salvation and peace and joy and contentment that we have today. We'll be back to this same subject in the second session. May we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the fact that you were willing to bear our sins in your own body on the tree. We're thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ being willing to suffer, to bleed, and to die. All that he went through, and most of all, those dark, dark moments when he bore our sins, we thank you for that. We're not worthy of any of these blessings. We're certainly not worthy of salvation. We realize that there's no way that anyone could do anything to merit this magnificent gift. It's a gift of grace. It's a gift from God. It was a gift that took the life of Jesus Christ And we're thankful today that he was willing to do all this for us. We realize again that that gift cannot be purchased. There's nothing we can do. It's a gift to be received. How beautiful, how magnificent it is. There may be some even hearing my voice today who've never accepted that gift, but they could do it now. Because the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We're thankful today for that gift of salvation. We're not worthy. There's no way that we could ever merit. Not a thing we could do. And yet, we're told in the Scripture, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. We're told in the Scripture, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We hear Jesus saying, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. And that lets us know that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus. We pray that there will be many today who will trust you. And we thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen.
Push him up higher. Yeah. You missed that. Fabulous thing.